meetings. So Sunday is also a very busy day. If you've been to the Manor, you know. So we're very fortunate that he's come here today to be with all of us. And as far as any of us can remember, I think Merlin Manohar, who has been here for 22 years, he said he's never seen Shruti Dhammapur give class here. So somehow Baba Bhakti was able to convince him to come. So please, if we can, very tumultuously welcome Shruti Dhammapur by chanting very loudly three Hari Bols.
Hare Krishna.
Thank you.
Acharya. Ashto Parashi Shimadhi Shtivaya Migration Vicharanam Bhaktanta Swami Sila Prabhupada Jain Nittalila Pavishtom Vishnupad Paramahamsa Parigara Acharya. Ashtotara Sishimati Divine Grace Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Gosha Maharaj Sri Prabhupada Ki Ananta Koti Vaishnava Vrinda Ki Namacharya Srila Harinasa Thakur Premshikama Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasade Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Ki Sri Sri Radha Krishna Gopinath Shamakunda, Radhakunda, Giri Govidhanaki, Rajabhumi Shivindam Dhamaki, Navadip Mayapura Dhamaki, Jagannath Puri Dhamaki, Ayodhya Puri Dhamaki, Dwarka Puri Dhamaki, Shishi Radha Landanishwaraki, Jagannath Baladev Sumatra Maharaniki, Shishi Gauri Nathayaki, Gauri Bhimanaki, all glories to the Assembly. All glories to the Assembly. All glories to the Assembly. All glory is lotus feet and Shri Guru and Shri Gauranga. Thank you. Hare Krishna. So it's a great honor and pleasure to be here. And it is said that behind every great man there is a great woman. So sometimes it's said behind every great man there's a very surprised woman as well. But here it needed the temple president's wife to convince me to get it down here from the busy schedule. So definitely it's a great lady to persuade me to get out and come out on and be here with all of you. I used to actually give class in Berry Place in the old days, but I never made it to give class in Suffolk Street at that time. I recall when Prabhupada first, well on his final visit, to Landanishwara, and I was there on Janamashtami Day in 1977 when Prabhupada finally came for the last time and he wanted to take darshan of Landanishwara. And when he finally came, everyone, all the devotees had gone to the manor. So the temple president at that time was Rancho Prabhu. He was the only person in the building. And he also was the pujari, so at the same time. So some things never change, I think, in life. The temple president always ends up doing everything. So when I arrived in the morning, I was just finishing university. So it was Janmashtami Day. He said to me, Prabhupada is coming. And we don't have anyone here at all today. So can you start cleaning the building and putting the flowers out and doing everything that's necessary? So, of course, on that occasion, all the devotees, the Sankirtan devotees from all over Europe had come to see Prabhupada. So, when Prabhupada finally did come and he was on this palanquin, and the gentleman's car that Prabhupada was in, his name is Charles Patel, I think he definitely comes here as well. Why I'm saying that is because Charles Patel actually owned this building. And he's the one that spoke to Vichitavira in a Kandari about actually using it as a temple. So it was his car that Prabhupada was in, and Prabhupada, when he finally did come on that day, he was not very well, of course, as you know. He didn't speak much. And so when I did finally open the door, immediately there was a rush, because the Sankirtan devotees from Germany had come, and they were a very enthusiastic bunch. So immediately there was about 80 of them who ran through the building. And they ran over me as well, I think. And they ran into the temple room. And Prabhupada, when he finally saw Landanishwara for the final time, and it was Tamal Krishna Goswami and Bhavananda Prabhu who were with him on either side. So they were with Prabhupada, and luckily there wasn't anyone else that knew where all the bits and pieces were, so I managed to sneak my way in and be with both of them. And when Prabhupada, and I was right next to Prabhupada, and when Prabhupada saw the deities, it was such an experience, because immediately when he saw the deities, there were floods of tears in his eyes. He was crying and crying when he saw Landanishwara, to show how dear they were to him. And in Prabhupada's humility, of course, he paid his respects to Rancho Prabhu as well, was offering the arti. And I recollect after that, we all, whoever was there, a few of us, we ran, because Prabhupada was going to come here in 77 to see the building. So they brought the car just out here, and we ran across from New Oxford Street to here. And we stood outside, and Prabhupada's car was outside, and they showed the building to Prabhupada and said, this is the new home for Adalandanishwar. And Prabhupada raised his hands like this, and he said, I approve. So that's a little history that I recall from that time. We'll begin with Mangalacharna prayers. And prayers are a wonderful thing that we should always have in our life. And I know different people may think of different things when they pray. But one thing I always think about is something nice that they coined the five-finger prayer. What should you be praying for when you begin, and who should you be praying for? It's called the five-finger prayer. So it begins like this, that the thumb is the closest to you, if you look at your five fingers. So it said that when you pray, you should pray for those that are close to you first. Your family, your friends, your parents, and so on. So the first part of our prayer is that you should pray for those that are close to you. The second finger, this is the teacher's finger, if any teachers are here. So it said that those that are teachers in your life, you should also pray for them. Here we have the counselor system, or the mentorship system. So they are your teachers. So you should be praying for them every day as well, when you pray. The third finger should be the tallest finger that you have. So these are heads. Tall means those that are heads in society, those that are overseeing the Queen, the Prime Minister, whoever. We're grateful to all such individuals. And those that are heads, perhaps, are in our community. But most importantly, we should pray for those that are heads in our temple. We should pray for the temple president of Sower Street every day as well. And three times a day you should pray for the temple president of Bhaktivedanta Mandir as well. He needs it three times more. The next finger, this one, if you're a musician, it's defined as the weak finger. So those that are weak in society, we should, and needy, we should pray for them. And finally, the smallest finger, who is small, it's all of us. So we should come last on the list of prayers. So it's a little meditation before we chant Mangalacharna. Om Ajnanate Nirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurum Militam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Vanchakalpatarubhyascha Kripasindubhyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Nama Om Vishnupadaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Nitya Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shanyavani Vashyatane Shatarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Siyadvetagadadar Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Driving into London, you see all the theatres and the cinema houses And whenever they put a movie together, they have what's known as a script or a storyboard, which tells the story before it's actually made. So actually each one of us also has a script in our life. And what governs the script of your lives? Interesting question. What governs the script of your life? The kind of books that you read, and magazines, and newspapers, that will govern the script of your life. The kind of movies that you watch, and radio that you listen to, that will govern the script of your life. Because it's telling you what you should be doing or not doing. The kind of music that you listen to, that will govern the script of your life. And finally, the type of friends that you have, that will also govern the script of your life. So if you're ever wondering what your storyboard is, just look at those four things. And then you'll realize what your script is going to be. And of course here, within Krishna consciousness, we can help you with all four things. The kind of books that you read, of course, we have so many books. The kind of movies that you watch, I'm sure our shop upstairs has so many movies that you can get. The kind of music that you listen to, there's hundreds of CDs. And the friendship and the friends that you have are all here. We can definitely help you with that as well. So if you want a Krishna conscious storyboard, then that's our option. If you're thinking of other things, then you can decide on your script. Our situation is described in the Puranas. And they tell the story of each one of us through an analogy. And they speak about a king who was once running through the forest. And whilst he was running in the forest, he noticed that in one direction a monster was chasing after him. So he decided, let me go in another direction. Again, in that direction, another monster appeared. So he had another direction he thought he'd go in. Another monster appeared, so there was only one more direction left. And he started running towards it, and the monsters were getting closer and closer. And then he saw a well, and he thought, I better save myself. So he jumped inside the well to save himself. And when he jumped in, and as he was going down the well, he noticed at the bottom of the well was a huge crocodile with its mouth wide open. So he said, oh. And he noticed that there was a branch on the side of the well, so he grabbed it. And he thought, I'm saved. So he looked up at the top, there were three monsters. He looked down, there was a crocodile. And then he noticed there were two mice that appeared in the well. One was black and one was white, and they were nibbling away at this branch. So at any moment the branch was going to collapse. So either he could go to the top or he was going to go down. At that time he noticed in the well there was a beehive. And oozing from the beehive was honey. So he thought to himself, let me stick my tongue out and taste a drop of that honey. And he did. And he thought, that was wonderful. So what is this all about? It's about all of us, every one of us. You have to excuse me, I have a terrible cold. What is the story all about? The king is all of us. Queen, whatever. The three monsters in the three directions They represent the three miseries that you all face in life. Adhyatmika, which is miseries from this body, whether it's a cold. And if it's not the body, it's the mind. Adhyatmika. If it's not that, the second monster is adhibhautika. If your body and mind are not giving you hell, for sure other people are giving you hell. And if it's not other people, it's the mosquito in India when you finally went on holiday. That's giving you hell. And the third monster is adhidaivika. Material nature is giving you hell. You finally go on a holiday, and it just so happens that week in the Bahamas it was raining all week. Or there was a tsunami somewhere. So these are the three monsters that are represented. And when he jumped in the well, what happened at the bottom of the well? It was a huge crocodile. Crocodile represents death. Death is there at the end waiting for us. But of course he was hanging on, and there were two mice. What do you think the two mice represent, everyone? Black and white. So it's day and night. Day and night, they're eating away at your time. So that they're also busy eating away into your time. But you know what? Despite all of these calamities in our life, there's a drop of honey. And we think, actually, there are no problems in life. And we taste that drop of honey and we think, wow, what's the problem in life really? Promotion. Life's not too bad. We get wage rise. Life's not too bad. We may get married or a new girlfriend or boyfriend. We think life's not too bad. That drop of honey makes us forget three monsters at the top, two mice here, and the crocodile at the bottom. This is the power of the illusionary energy, allowing everything to go on Oxford Street, isn't it? Everything is going on Oxford Street through this illusionary power. And as you know, everyone's busy shopping, and everyone is very busy buying things that they don't want, isn't it? Buying things that they don't want for people that they don't like with money that they don't have. It's a definition of Oxford Street next time you're on there. And why is it that despite hearing all of this wisdom, we still don't want to progress in the spiritual path? We hear so much wisdom every morning, every evening, in a variety of ways, but still we can't get to grips with it. When we're going back home in the car, the train, or whatever it is, we can't seem to become serious. So this question was asked of the Buddha. The Buddha, of course, is the incarnation of Lord Krishna. And he was asked the same question, why is it that people are not serious about the goal of life or spirituality? And he said there are three bad listeners in this world. And the fourth is a good listener. So you could fit into any four of these categories. He said, if you want to fill a container, a lota, as he called it at that time, with water, he said, first of all, the first container that you try to fill is upside down. So you pour water over it, it never goes in. It never goes in. He said, that's the first bad type of listener. And perhaps this lecture is so boring that many of you might be like that today. That it's not going in at all. You are not only dreaming at night, you're dreaming during the day as well. That nothing goes in. A bit like, I remember my chemistry classes in University of London, a little bit like that. You know, you're sitting there, you're looking, but you're actually somewhere in the Bahamas or wherever you are, a big yacht. I was actually at the temple, actually, thinking, what am I doing here? What am I doing here? So that's the first bad type of listener. And Buddha says the second container, it's upright. When you pour the water in, it fills, but there are holes in it. So when you lift the container, all the water comes out. So the second type of listener is that they listen through one ear, but it's going out from the other ear. So you may hear wisdom, but it doesn't stay in. It goes straight out. Some of you may fit into that category. So thirdly, the container is upright, there are no holes in it, and you pour the water in, but it's dirty. So although it's clean water that you're pouring in, because the container already has so many qualities of dirt, the water is of no use. So someone may give you wisdom, but you have so many thoughts of your own and misconceptions that you say, what he's saying is all right, but I've got a better idea, really. It doesn't matter what Jainita is saying, but actually I know better than him. So this is when the container is dirty. We already have our preconceptions of life. So the water again is of no use. So finally he says, finally the container is upright, there are no holes, and it's not dirty. So when you do pour water in, it is of use. And he says that wisdom is wisdom that enters through the ears and settles in your heart. As we sing every morning, that it is of great use because it enters our heart. So you can see where you want to be in those categories. And if you're wondering why is it that I'm not changing, it's because you fit into those four categories. Socrates was asked a very similar question. Very cosmopolitan in class today, we're running from different countries. So Socrates, he was, of course, a great philosopher, very much akin to the Vedic thought, the soul, reincarnation, and so on. So he was asked by a disciple, that why is it that I'm not advancing in my spiritual life? Does anyone feel like that ever? Why am I not advancing? Why am I not advancing in my spiritual life? So Socrates says, I have the answer. So he took him to the shore of the ocean. And the student thought that something magical is going to happen now, whereby he'll help me to advance. So Socrates took some water, and he wetted his hands, and the student thought some magic potion will be now created, whereby I can really become very, very progressive in my spiritual life. Socrates at that time took the young man and he started drowning him in the water. He pushed him down. And the man immediately was drowning. And then when Socrates noticed that bubbles of water were coming up to the top, he realized now the man is really drowning. And then he pulled him up. And Socrates' student said, what are you doing? Why did you do that? I simply wanted to know, why am I not advancing in my spiritual journey? And Socrates asked him a question, what were you thinking of? He said, I was desperate for one breath of air. That's the only thing I could think of and nothing else. So Socrates says, when you become desperate, just like that, for spiritual life, that's when you'll advance. That's when you'll begin to advance. Of course, through the association of devotees is how we become desperate for spiritual life. There is no other way. On our own, it's not possible. That's why ISKCON London here, Shishiranda Lundanishwara, is an oasis in the desert of London. A watering hole for those that are spiritually thirsty and want to quench their thirst. And by working here, by serving here, by visiting here, by worshipping here, that desperation for spiritual advancement can be, once again, reignited. The age of Kali has so many symptoms. Manda sumanda matayo manda bhagya hi upadrutaha. That in the age of Kali we are all lazy, misguided, manda sumanda manda bhagya, unfortunate, hi upadruta, and above all, always disturbed. So these are the four things that are prevalent in the age of Kali. Echoing on that, Mahabharata tells a wonderful story of the symptoms of the age of Kali. At the end, when Krishna had left the planet, Yudhishthira Maharaj was sitting in his palace, and Bhima, who was guarding the palace, was approached by a personality who asked him four riddles. And I'm going to ask you the same riddles today. And the first riddle was the gentleman who appeared, and he asked Bhima, four questions. Four individuals actually came, and who this individual was who was asking the questions, the Mahabharata says, was the personality of Kali. Now that Krishna had left the planet, Kali had appeared. And Kali came before Yudhishthira Maharaj, and he gave him the four symptoms of the age of Kali. So the first question the personality asked him was, that I have just seen a scarecrow. Everyone knows scarecrow. Don't have so many in London, but you have them all in the country, scarecrows. He said, I've just seen a scarecrow, but it was very unusual because the scarecrow was eating all the crops. What's the meaning of this? So of course, Bhima didn't know the answer to any of these things. So he asked Yudhishthira Maharaj, this person has come and he's asking me of this riddle. What is the answer? And Yudhishthira Maharaj, who's Dharmaraj, said, he said, this is Kali personified, and he's giving the first symptom of the age of Kali. What is a scarecrow meant to do? Protect the crops. But instead, what is he doing now? He's eating the crops. So Yudhishthira Maharaj said, in the age of Kali, those that are meant to protect you will exploit you. Those that are meant to protect you, they will exploit you. To the degree that the safest individual in creation is the child in the womb. And even that individual is not safe, exploited. The government, which is meant to protect us, begins to exploit us. And those that are our friends, even they will not be there at the end of time. So this was the first riddle, first symptom of the age of Kali. Then Kali came again and then gave another riddle. He said, I have just seen that there was one huge bin full of water, and the bin was emptied into four buckets. And now the bin was empty and the four buckets were full. But when the four buckets were then placed back into the bin was only a quarter full. You got that one? Next riddle. Big bin, full of water, you empty it and it fills 4 buckets, but when you put the water back, it's only a quarter full. So he said, what is the meaning of this? And Yudhishthira Maharaj, who is Dharmaraj, he said, this is the second symptom of the age of Kali. He said, previously, one father would maintain 4 children. But in the age of Kali, 4 children will not look after one father. So that's the next symptom of the age of Kali. Definitely after this lecture, give your father or mother a call, everyone. Then the personality of Kali came again and gave the next riddle. And he said, I have just seen an elephant. And the elephant has passed through the eye of a needle. A sewing needle, everyone knows sewing needle, it's got a little eye in it. So the elephant went through the eye of a needle. Quite amazing. But he said the elephant got through, but the tail got caught. He said, what is the meaning of this? So of course Yudhishthira Maharaj, he thought of this. And he said, in the age of Kali, he said, all the big, big criminals, they will all escape. He said, they'll all escape. They may even be running all the countries. And only the small criminals will get caught and go to jail. Everyone else will escape. And then finally, the last riddle. He said, I have just seen a young man, he took a ball of string and he tied it around the Himalayas. Quite unusual. But he tied it all around the Himalayas and now he's pulling that string and the Himalayas is moving with him. What is the meaning of this? Some good thoughts on your way back home, isn't it? So Yudhishthira Maharaj, he said that you may have in your life a mountain of sin like the Himalayas, because the Himalayas are immovable. You can't move them. Not possible to move the Himalayas. What to speak of a ball of string? So he said, but the chanting of the holy names of Krishna are so powerful that even if you have a mountain of sin, if you chant sincerely, even a mountain of sin will disappear simply if you chant the holy names of Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And hence, the principle that all of us want to distribute this knowledge, so that everyone can be relieved of the mountain of sin that we all have. And I know we all had a wonderful book distribution marathon and everyone took part in giving this knowledge to others, so that also their burden of sin, their mountain of sin can be removed. Because by reading these books, they also will realize that simply by chanting the holy names of Krishna, you can be relieved of so much anxiety. I was recently just speaking last week to Bhaktivedanta Goswami. And he said they also had an amazing marathon. Because as you know, they tried to make the Bhagavad Gita an unauthorized book in Russia. Forbidden book. So he said the Russians are such that as soon as something is forbidden, they want it. He said everybody wanted the Gita, because now it was a forbidden book and there was a court case against it. A little bit like the Apple logo Isn't it? The Apple logo is the apple with a bite in it. Yes, that's the founders of Apple decided theirs also was that. That was their logo, the forbidden fruit from the Old Testament, the apple. And you were told, don't bite into it. But of course, Adam and Eve bit into it. So Apple also thought, if we have the forbidden product, everyone will want it. So he was saying how amazing it was, and he said throughout Russia, the Gita sold tremendously this time. And he was recalling some stories of the old days, or when the KGB were there, and they used to have the Gita at that time, which was definitely a forbidden book at that time. And he said one person, he wanted to get hold of the Gita. And a friend of his told him, you'll never get hold of this because it's a very rare book. But if you join the KGB, then often what they do is they find all of these people and they confiscate their literatures. Then maybe you'll be able to get one. So he joined the KGB. And he waited for many, many years. And finally, he was told to go to one gathering. They didn't know what it was. And he sat there in one gathering and he heard a whole lecture. And when the lecture finished, they opened the curtain and all their books were there. And it was the Gita. And they were going to read from it. So at that moment, he showed his badge and he said, KGB, everyone. And he said, this book is being confiscated. And they were all depressed. And he went away with the books that they had. 1 week later, he came back to the Sunday feast. And they said, you've got all our books, why are you here again? He said, in that 1 week, I read the entire book. And now today I've come to hear the lecture. Shows you the potency of these books, of how they give us such immense knowledge. And another book distributor, I think that Maharaj was mentioning this many years ago, whilst he was distributing these books, someone from perhaps the Orthodox Church was trying to stop him. So a few individuals found this devotee distributing these books, and they started harassing him and beating him up on the street. So this KGB agent who was walking past, he saw this happen and he thought, well, I can't really get involved because you're not meant to, you're the Secret Service. But he said, I've got to stop this man. So he immediately took those two individuals, and he's a KGB agent, he beat them up. And he pulled the devotee up and he said, immediately leave this area. And then this KGB agent was running away because he's not meant to do this. So the devotee ran after him and he really wanted to thank him. And he said, please, please, thank you very much. Thank you very much. Please keep this book. And it was the Bhagavad Gita. And the man said, no, I don't want this book. I don't want to know anything. I'm going away. He said, no, he was persistent. So finally, the KGB agent agreed, okay, I'll take the book. He took the book, and he was walking away, and the devotee ran after him again, and he said, please, please, can you give a contribution? And the KGB agent said, who are these people? And he thought, well, if I don't give him a contribution, he's going to keep harassing me. I better give him something. So he gave him something. Then the KGB agent then went home and he actually read the book. And simply by reading the book, every day, for 4 years, he was chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Every day he was just by reading the book. He hadn't met anyone. Now, you know what happens in the KGB is that different people, you always go in twos. So that in case you are defecting, the other partner notices. And Prabhupada said the same thing, that devotees should always go in twos, in case the material energy is trying to trick you. Hopefully the two people are not in cahoots. So this KGB agent, his partner noticed that every day in the morning, He would sit in a certain posture and he'd be chanting. So he told his superiors that our chief, who is in charge of this unit, I think he is a spy for the Americans. Because every day he's transmitting something to the Americans. So of course what they did was they wired him up. Now because he was one of the heads of the KGB, he knew they're on to him. And he knew that they had wired him up with a microphone. So that morning he realized it would be his last session. So very loudly that morning, because all the heads of the KGB were listening, he chanted, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So they would hear the holy name and they would get purified. Of course, as soon as he had his broadcast, he immediately ran. He escaped the country. He went into Germany and he joined there. And he was at that time one of the temple presidents of our temple in Germany. Just from the association of one of Srila Prabhupada's books. Imagine that. The potency being in the association of Prabhupada, his devotee, or his books. We're all here, serving here, ISKCON London. And what is it that make the whole building run? It's our service here at Sri Sri Radha London Ishwara. And service is a privilege. It's not a chore. Very rarely, Brahmanda Brahmidhi Konya Bhagyavanjiv, Guru Krishna Prasade Bhai Bhakti Lata Bij. Out of many millions of births, you get this opportunity to actually come and serve. So next time you're serving here, don't think, I've got to cook, I've got to clean, I've got to do this, the last. No, actually it's a privilege. It's a real privilege to be serving here. Specifically here in Prabhupada's favorite deities. The original deities, the first deities, Radha Krishna deities. And there are four elements of service I'd like you to think on. The first element of service I'd like you to think on is camaraderie. Or friendship. Friendship is a very important principle. One acronym for team, because we're all one team here in ISKCON London, TEAM. A nice acronym is TEAM. Together, everyone achieves more. TEAM. So when we're serving here, the first principle is camaraderie, friendship. And each one of us should play our roles, whatever role we have, and not fight for someone else's role. We should play our role. And also, we should do what we're told. We should do what we're told. Because if we do, we play our role and we don't fight for someone else's role, and we do as we're told, wonderful things can happen. The example is there in the kindergarten. When the young children are told that we have a big performance to do, all the lights are off on stage, all of you just lift this board, each one of them had a placard, and each one of you just stand in a specific place and just lift the placard. That's all you have to do. And wonderful things will happen. The children couldn't understand it. But they played their roles, they didn't fight for another's role, and they did as they were told. And you know what happened? They all picked up the placards, they stood up, and they put the placards up. The lights were off, and when the lights turned on, the entire audience stood up and clapped. Do you know why? Because the placard said, "Welcome." Welcome. So camaraderie, playing our roles. Another important principle of service is sincerity. Sincerity. What's sincerity? Sincerity means we don't always have to be told what to do. We should be inspired from within what needs to be done. Others don't always need to tell us, do this, do this, do this. Sincerity means I should be inspired to do something, because this seva is a privilege. The third principle of service here at ISKCON London is humility. Whatever is needed, we should do. Big or small. When Prabhupada was told about this principle of humility, he said, you have the privilege of service. If not you, someone else will do it. It's up to you whether you want to take the credit. And finally, simplicity. Despite whatever our role here at ISKCON London, being simple. Krishna consciousness is simple for those that are simple. It's very complicated if you're complicated. And if we are simple, we will attract the attention of Jagannath Baladev Subhadra Maharani and Nandanishwara. And Lakshmi Devi, she's the goddess of fortune. So in Vaikuntha, she was thinking, I can't attract the attention of Lord Narayan. So then she realized, let me do something really simple. And you know what she did? She started sweeping the floor. And Lord Narayan was attracted. He was amazed. Do you know why? Because there is no dust in Vaikuntha. There's no dust in Vaikuntha. But it attracted the attention of the Lord. So we can attract the attention of the Lord if we can keep to these four principles. What was the first one?
Camaraderie.
Next one?
Sincerity.
Third one? Humility. And finally? Yes. And as Prabhupada said, he wants something wonderful to happen here in London. So if we pray to the deities and we follow these four principles, then wonderful things can happen here in London. When Prabhupada was in America, and he was outside a donut shop, and he was walking with his disciples in the 60s, he said, this is my movement. And the disciples thought, this is wonderful, a donut shop. And Prabhupada took his cane and he pointed to the top of the shop sign, which was next door. It was a hardware shop. And it was selling paints. And the sign was the globe, the earth, and on the top was a pot of paint which was pouring on the globe. And their motto was, we cover the entire planet. And Prabhupada said, this is my movement. We cover the entire planet. All of us are very fortunate to be here, working here under the guidance of the temple management here and the temple president, Jai Nitai Prabhu. Very fortunate that you all are. And sometimes we never know our fortune. And often we're not grateful. And you know, if we're not grateful, as it says in the Ramayana, there is no atonement for ungratefulness. Lakshman says that. And if we're not grateful, in due course of time, as Mother Kalangana says, you'll become a great fool. You become a great fool. So all of us are very fortunate. We know who God is. It's Shishi Radha Nandanishwara. We know who his associates are. We even know where he lives. We even have his telephone number. Very simple, you can call him anytime, any place, anywhere, anytime. His phone number is amazing. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. You can call him anytime, any place, anywhere. He doesn't have an answering service, a secretary. He will answer every single call. And more than that, not only do we know who God is, who his associates are, where he lives, what his phone number is, You know something? I know the number of the bus that's going back home, back to Godhead. And it's leaving here at the end of your life from Soho Square. It says the bus is the number 108, and it says ISKCON London. And it's heading all the way to Goloka Vrindavan. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki.
Second World War, fascism, Holocaust, there were many psychological studies done on obedience, and it showed that people were prepared to go to the extent of giving huge electric shocks to someone who had done nothing wrong. And so how, since humans do this, have this ability, how can we safeguard against that kind of extremism?
In the Vedic perspective, the principle is obedience. It's the principle that someone may cheat us. So Srila Prabhupada, once he was having this discussion, and he said that, and he started to cry, because some devotees perhaps are feeling that they may be cheated. So Prabhupada said, he said, I can understand if they think that I may cheat them. But he said, Krishna cheating them? He said, I can never understand that. So in the Vedic perspective, of course, obedience isn't blind faith. It's based on sadhu, guru and shastra. We have sadhu, we have guru, and we have shastra, and all three have to correlate. If others are telling us to do various things, are the sadhus saying the same things? Is the guru telling us the same thing? And are the scriptures saying the same thing? Then we can be sure that that obedience is wonderful obedience, because by that obedience, since time immemorial, we have wanted to be disobedient. And the result of that disobedience has been that we are here in this material world. And this material world is people often speak about the fact that how is it that there's suffering here? How is it that there are so many problems here? It's because the other religions don't know that this is not the perfection of God's creation. And that's why they have this principle. Why is it that there's so many difficulties in this life? The perfection of God's creation is the spiritual realm. This is called Durga, which means prison house. And what are prisons for?
Reformation.
Yeah, they're not for locking people up. They're all about reforming an individual. So this process of Krishna consciousness is the process of reforming ourselves. And when we get to the stage, as Rupa Goswami says, Ado Shraddha Tathak Sadhu Sangha, that the principle of faith, that then we'll become obedient when we have complete faith that yes, this process actually works, Krishna has given it, and those individuals that are around me, they ultimately know the best for me, unlike those individuals in Germany. Hare Krishna.
Okay, thank you very much, Shruti Dharma Prabhu. So, we'd like to encourage Shruti Dharma Prabhu to come back again. He can come at least once every couple of weeks. I'm sure since everyone's going to be praying for him three times a day, you can put that prayer in. So please let us thank Shruti Dharma Prabhu for coming and giving us his association. Probably one of the busiest people, at least in the UK, if not on the planet, so many things to do. So many people wanting his time, as you can rightly see why people would want his association. So Please let us express our gratitude and appreciation. Let's be grateful and not become great fools. By chanting very, very loudly, three, Hari Bol.
His Grace Chaitanya Prabhu ki.
This isn't the mutual appreciation. Prabhupada, you said to her. So just a couple.